Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Like sands through the Blackwater, so are the days of our Milton. And now, another episode of City Council Melodrama Theater.
Whether you're an elected official, staff, or citizen, speak only when you're recognized to speak. Focus your comments on city business. Deliver your comments in a respectful manner. Slander and aggression are not in order. When speaking, if you engage in slanderous commentary or behave in a way that's hostile, I'll interrupt you. If a member of council thinks I should interrupt someone, you can state point of order and ask me as the chair to address the situation. As the chair, I'll decide how to address it.
So there you have, this is now the second time that Mayor Heather Lindsay in Milton has issued the rather repetitive but stern instructions to members of the public and city council as well, that there shall be no slander, there shall be no aggression. And in case you didn't hear me the first time, I'll repeat the words multiple times, but there shall be no slander and aggression when we're talking amongst ourselves and having city council, which, if you don't know the history of the city of Milton, let's just say that decorum has not been the rule of the day. And so this is now, like I said, this is the second meeting where she has issued the same set of warnings. And frankly, I mean, good. I mean, if it works, and the last meeting was, you know, mostly okay. This meeting, she follows up with a reminder that, you know, if you can't behave yourselves, city council, I will have you thrown out. Of course, the challenge is that most of the time the one not behaving is her. But whatever. Okay, here, listen to what she says.
Any elected official, staff member, or citizen unwilling or unable to maintain decorum after warning will be removed from the chamber for the duration of the meeting.
I will have you out. Out. But, well, so that's a good, like I said, it's a warning. Jeff Snow, city councilman, one of the, let's just say, common opponents of the mayor. They often get into squabbles about things. And he wants to know what I think is a relatively reasonable question.
Mayor, I know you're trying to set up some guidelines for us all. And I understand if a council member gets out of line, you're allowed to do that. How does that go in effect if you don't follow the rule? Would a council member make that statement?
I would think you'd want to say point of order.
Okay,
Mayor.
I just wanted to make sure. Okay, mm-hmm. Thank you.
You just say point of order. That's what you do. It's like Brad Pitt in Inglourious Bastards. Is that how you say it? What's the line? You just say bingo. You just say point of order. That's what you do. So that was the beginning, and the beginning was fine. I mean, if that were the height of dysfunction, and honestly, I will tell you this. The meeting was pretty orderly. The meeting was pretty calm. Although, and I want to give credit where credit is due, the butterfly house, Vivarium, Keep Santa Rosa Beautiful, came up. And of all the things they talked about the whole night, that was really the only time when there was much of a fight whatsoever. And it really wasn't much of a fight. It was just, you know, some people disagreeing with each other about some things. You know, basically Bob Cole and Jenny Weber. And I may get some of the details wrong because it's hard to keep it all straight, but the organization that used to run the Butterfly House, Jenny Weber, okay, was in charge. And then they moved to Milton. They got kicked out of Navarre because Navarre took the property to build the new park, and then they moved to Milton. They got a grant from Impact 100 to build the Butterfly House Vivarium. It's on property where apparently they didn't do their proper full measure of stormwater mitigation, even though it's a property that borders on, you know, like a swamp and some forests and some things where the water runs off anyway. So you shouldn't be a big deal, but it is. So they built this vivarium. They didn't count for the stormwater. Therefore, they don't have a certificate of occupancy. And they were asking for an exemption to get a temporary CO until they could get the stuff taken care of for the stormwater runoff. She had been the president of when they were unified, I guess, years ago. And then there was this fracas and an internal squabble, and the, you know, keeps, and the Keep Santa Rosa Beautiful basically fired all of the people that were there, including her. So Bob Cole, his wife, is on the board. So he's been like kind of on one side. Jenny Weber's been on the other. And every time the Butterfly House stuff comes up, she shows up and complains or criticizes or offers her arguments or however you want to see it, because they started their kind of their own butterfly operation. Again, this is the way I understand it. It's one of those like super insider Milton Santa Rosa Navarre kind of topics that even I have trouble keeping track of. If I have trouble keeping track of it, it's Byzantine. But okay, I think that's basically your background for it. And so they're arguing about this, and you know, basically, Tim Milstead, the planning director, says we recommend that you don't give them the waiver because they haven't filed a stormwater plan. But Jeff Snow says we could give them a temporary certificate of occupancy with a promise to do it later. And Tim Milstead says, yeah. Okay, so we could basically issue a temporary CO and then revoke it later if need be.
So the CO could be issued, but on the condition that these various conditions would have to be met. And if those conditions are not met, then somehow the city would have the authority to shut the place down?
That's correct. The CO could be revoked by the county.
So Bob Cole, former county commissioner, District 2, again, his wife's on the board, and he's very invested in all of this.
But the necessity in getting a temporary occupancy would be to open a vivarium. Y'all been by there. You know, it's a beautiful facility. It's ready to be open. And in turn, we bring people in. We show them what we got going on. That, in turn, gets people involved. And that's what we need right now.
And they need money because despite the impact grant, despite the sale of the old property, you know, they're basically cash strapped. And they say they can't fund the stormwater improvements until they get money, which will come from people visiting, which can't come until they have a CO, until the city approves it. So they're kind of caught. Like, they can't really do the stormwater improvements in order to get the CO without a waiver until they can get open and start making some money. So there's also this question about, you know, well, why so short on money? And you have this background question of an audit that was done years ago that, is it public? Is it not public? Is it, was it ever talked about in the Santa Rosa County Commission meeting? Again, just backdrop, there's always drama, right? So Bob Cole says, get this open, you know, and he says, look, it is time for us to, you know, kind of all come together.
We need everybody to come together, whether it be Save the Blackwater, the Railroad Museum, the Historical Society, Keep Santa Rosa Beautiful. We need to come together as a community and start growing our community and putting our heads together and get rid of all this conflict.
I will say this, Bob Cole's generally a try-to-get-things-done sort of guy, but not always super pro-unity. And so, you know, the unity message is good when it works for you. It's not what everybody wants to do when it works against you. Former City Councilman Vernon Compton says, we don't really need stormwater mitigation because the whole property is, you know, a stormwater mitigation project, but still, there's these rules. Sherry Chapman, who's always good for a quip.
One of those things that's going to come back and bite you in the honey if you do it.
Thank you, Sherry. Don't do it. Don't do it. It's going to be bad for you. And then, you know, Jenny Weber, who's, again, ousted, disenfranchised, bitter slash critical. You take it how you will.
Mr. Cole said that, you know, they've been doing a really good job on, and Vernon also said that they've been doing a really great job planting trees and plants and stuff like that. However, they've been negligent as far as the city code. For an environmental group to have to be told to put up a simple silt fence, which is like basic 101 construction, they actually had to be told to put up the silt fence.
I mean, you know, in a way she's right, but being good at stewarding butterflies is, or keeping the city beautiful, is not the same necessarily as understanding that you got to put up a silt fence. Is it them or the construction people? Who knows? But okay, fine. And, you know, she says they can't afford it. Should we just take it at their word because they said so? After all, we've got that audit. Remember that audit, that problem?
And if you want to take their word, then I'd refer you to another one of the loose ends from Mr. Cole's term, which was the county audit, which was very bad, and it shows you their mismanagement of funds and the whole organization. And now, less than 2 years later, after selling Park Avenue, we're supposed to believe that they don't have money to dig a retention bond.
Yeah, I mean, it's not a completely unfair question. It is critical, but other members who are in support of it, Cassandra Sharp, a city businesswoman in Milton.
The last speaker, I'm kind of surprised that she's here speaking against this organization. But maybe one day in the city of Milton, when certain people or certain groups come forward trying to make our community better, which the Butterfly House is doing, maybe we won't have people get up and feel like that they have to continue to badger and take away from what certain organizations try to accomplish in this town.
We don't need those stinking badgers. So Cassandra Sharp says, you know, why can't we all get on the same page? Why can't, again, you know, the folks who are pushing for something will all, and I'm not critical of Cassandra. She usually says very reasonable things, my opinion. But, you know, the people who want for unity typically want for unity when it favors their cause and don't favor unity when it doesn't favor their cause. Unity is one of those things you appeal to when it benefits you, not necessarily across the board. Even Commissioner James Calkin showed up. So this is a former and a current commissioner showing up to speak.
You know, the positive things that some of our groups are out there doing that are good for our community. So I personally fully support this. I want to thank volunteers everywhere. I mean, it's... Even y'all, you know, you don't get paid enough to do what you all do. And so this community is thankful for your service and appreciate all y'all do. Thank you.
I don't understand why he was there. He didn't add anything. He just said they ought to get paid more, which is kind of weird because the guy always touts about how he's against tax increases. But, okay, you know, whatever. He doesn't want to pay salaries to employees and wants to downsize the employees, but now he wants to get people to get paid more. But, okay, whatever, you know. Not saying there has to be consistency across the board. Jeff Snow says, look, this is a good project. Let's do it. Come on. Let's take care of this. And whether they're good or bad with handling their money, that's not really our question. Our question is whether they're going to build the stormwater thing eventually. And yes and no. I mean, if you don't think they're going to be financially viable, then you don't have a reason to believe that they would get the money together to do the stormwater project. So I can see where the concern is. But he says, again, you know, our job is to get things done and not to bicker and have these people who are always fighting against every good thing we're trying to do.
You know, it's our job as a council. Our staff does it every day. If you can't do something one way, how can we get there? How can we work together? We don't always have to be negative and pounce on every group that's doing positive things in this area. Whether you agree with them or like, we need to work together and work for the positive change. And there's been so much positive change here for the last 7 years. We need to continue that.
So there you go. And they voted for it. So they're going to give them the CO temporarily so they can certificate of occupancy so they can operate. They can generate some revenue. They can build the stormwater mitigation. I think it's a pond that they're going to build, a you know, drainage pond. And then everything will be out back to normal. And as at the beginning, I said it was not particularly dysfunctional. I don't know whether Mayor Heather Lindsay's stern warnings worked. I don't know whether she's got them just kind of, you know, exhausted at this point or whether people just happen to be good tonight. Because a lot of times we see a meeting or two that go well and then, you know, all hell breaks loose in the next one. But for contrast, okay, A, to understand how it can be, and B, to understand how it's been in the past, I take you back a year ago to the September 19th, 2022 meeting of the Santa Rosa County Commission. Just so you understand how things can go in talking about this, Jenny Weber, who again was critical of Bob Cole, Bob Cole's a county commissioner at that time, still in office, says...
Go take a look at the sign on John Hamm Road and 87. It looks like a trash heap all around it. It's like it, the sign should say, throw your trash here. Instead, you can't see this, the county symbol. This is not a good partner.
As in KSRB, Keep Santa Rosa Beautiful, is not a good partner.
The Department of Water Management was really impressed with a call from Commissioner Cole. And then until I told him that his wife was on the board.
Uh-oh.
Full disclosure, Mr. Cole is pretty much working for KSRB now.
Uh-oh.
He's pushing this funding. He's pushing the fundraising. He said he would get the permit pushed through the county, and they got their permit pushed through the county, but nobody knows exactly how. He was involved in giving them real estate investment ideas and how to sell and who to use.
This is, again, when he was in office. This is a year ago. Allegations being made by Jenny Weber, the former, you know, kind of running the operation, then got kicked out. Okay, so they're running their own butterfly operation, I believe is the case. And, you know, she's been critical many times. And Bob Cole reacted with what you might remember as one of our Hall of Fame clips from the Santa Rosa County Commission meeting.
Ms. Weber, if I might. You talk about wasting tax dollars. You filed ethics charges against me that the citizens of this state had to pay for investigation, had to pay for an attorney, had to pay for a board to sit there. had to pay me to go to Tallahassee because there were no probable cause. Mm-hmm. You just pick out of the air and throw it at people, and I'm tired of it. What?
And I kind of like her answer.
Mm-hmm.
You just pick bleep out of the air and throw it at people. She says,
I'm a little sick of your phony outrage.
Well,
you know, you can't control yourself for 3 minutes. You should stifle yourself and just recuse yourself. Obviously, you are emotionally involved in this deal.
Yes, I filed my wife into it, lady.
Your wife has been into it. Last time I was here, you said...
Yeah, so, you know, there's a history.
Board, I apologize for my outburst to the board and to the other people out here.
I play all that, not because it's fun, although it is. I play all that to remind you that I'd call that about a 6 on the dysfunction scale. And so the meeting that actually took place in Milton was really only, you know, like a 2. Compared to that, I mean, nobody swore, nobody yelled about anybody else's wife. Nobody did anything terrible. So, relatively minor episode of Days of Our Milton. But there you have it. We'll see if the Butterfly House can work, KSRB can work, and everybody can be happy. That's certainly what we all hope for. 526 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
Some days I cover up because of my moderate to severe plaque psoriasis. Now I'm hitting the road with clearer skin thanks to Skyrizi, Risankizumab Rizza, a prescription-only 150 milligram injection for adults who are candidates for systemic or phototherapy. With Skyrizi, 3 out of 4 people achieved 90% clearer skin at 4 months. And Skyrizi is just 4 doses a year after 2 starter doses.
Don't use if allergic to Skyrizi. Serious allergic reactions and an increased risk of infections or a lower ability to fight them may occur. Before treatment, your doctor should check for infection and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms, such as fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, or if you plan to or recently received a vaccine.
Thanks to Skyrizi, there's nothing on my skin, and that means everything. Your doctor today about Skyrizi, the number one dermatologist prescribed biologic in psoriasis, and visit skyrizi.com or call 1-866-SKYRIZI to learn more.
Hi, I'm Mansfield Coe from Pensacola Hardware. We are your best local and regional resource for industrial construction and hardware supplies. Daily, we meet the needs of Pensacola's construction companies, providing superb knowledge and code-compliant products. We specialize in concrete and masonry tools, fall protection products, and tools and supplies for the HVAC, mechanical, plumbing, electrical, and glass trades. Give us the opportunity to show you why we are Pensacola's oldest and best hardware and construction supply company. Pensacola Hardware, 20 East Gregory Street, downtown.
Jeep climbing.
Picked off! He brought it down with one hand!
Johnson
goes down! Sack!
This is your home for FSU football.
Watson deep downfield!
Caught! Touchdown! FSU!
Rolling to his left, they're going to throw. End zone!
Picked off!
Game over!
Catch live coverage of the Seminoles all season long, right here on your home for Florida State football.
Listen to FSU football on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620. Brought to you by Pensacola Hardware.
Bands on the Beach, presented by the Santa Rosa Island Authority, happens every Tuesday night at 7 at the Gulfside Pavilion on Pensacola Beach. It's one of your final weeks to bring a blanket or a lawn chair and relax, watch the sunset, and enjoy your favorite bands. This week, it's Pensacola's bluegrass house band, String Farm. Hear the best in songs in bluegrass this Tuesday night at 7 with String Farm at Bands on the Beach. Remember, no pets or glass allowed.
Tune in to News Radio Pensacola today and stay informed about what's happening in your community. We're here to keep you connected. News Radio Pensacola. Informative, local, dependable.
This Japanese slingshot.
That is the role for Jim Nabors that you weren't expecting in that movie. Let's just say it's starring Dolly Parton and Burt Reynolds. 529 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. David Wayne is in the newsroom this morning with our headlines. David?
The United States and Israel have agreed to develop a plan to provide humanitarian aid from donor nations to civilians in Gaza. Secretary of State Antony Blinken made that announcement in Tel Aviv. Saying that it's critical that aid begins getting there soon. And, of course, President Biden will be headed to Israel tomorrow to meet with Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu.
And he's in Jordan today, is that right?
I believe so.
Okay, I thought it was Jordan first, but I don't remember for sure. But, okay, cool.
And then four inmates on the run after a jailbreak in Georgia. The Bibb County Sheriff's Office there says they fled through a damaged window at a county detention center south of Atlanta. All of those inmates got into a blue Dodge Challenger and took off. So wow. I guess we'll be following that.
All right. Well, I'll be looking out for that. Very good, David. Thanks so much for the update. The Gulf Coast Kids House is, of course, helps children. Fantastic stuff that they do to help children. And, you know, if you want to donate to them, they form a collaborative response to child abuse. You can help improve case outcomes. And, I mean, really, it's a terrible fact that they have to exist, but they do great work in response to that horrible fact set of facts.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. President Biden will be in Israel tomorrow to meet with Israeli leaders about their war with Hamas terrorists in Gaza, getting humanitarian aid to Palestinians there and getting American hostages out.
He's coming here at a critical moment for Israel, for the region, and for the world.
Secretary of State Antony Blinken in Tel Aviv. The president will also be in Jordan for meetings with Arab leaders. Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker was among the mourners at the funeral for a little boy murdered, police say, because of the attacks in Israel. The boy's family is Palestinian.
Saturday morning, police say 71-year-old Joseph Zuba knocked on the door of his tenant, Hanan Shaheen, and attacked her, choking her and stabbing the young mother more than a dozen times with a 12-inch military-style knife, and then brutally killing her 6-year-old son, Wadia, who was buried while she remained in the hospital recovering.
Fox's Garrett Tenney. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 5:31 at News Radio 92.3. It is 50 degrees. Partly cloudy skies right now in Pensacola. A Santa Rosa Beach man expected to survive and now recovering after being stabbed several times on Sunday. Now, that happened early in the morning on a dance floor in Destin. The victim reportedly had a disagreement with a woman, was then stabbed by a Hispanic male. Okaloosa County investigators are still looking into this case. Over the weekend, local IT and cybersecurity firm GBSI hosted its 6th annual cybersecurity competition.
Something in cybersecurity we call Capture the Flag, where they did cyber analysis, malware detection, and other threat hunting. They were introduced to a certain number of skills and tools that are necessary as a cybersecurity practitioner, and they're well on their way to a great career in cybersecurity.
And that is Christopher Middleton. He says that competition ended up being won by a group of 4 students from UWF. Congratulations to them. He adds that Pensacola continues to be a cybersecurity hub with a significant number of federal stakeholders and intelligence communities here in the area and region. Well, today in Baldwin County, their commissioners are set to vote on a proposal that would reopen a landfill in Bay Minette. Last month, dozens of residents came out to speak against that plan, which calls for the relocation of a garbage transfer station and reopening of the Red Hill landfill. According to WPMI, Baldwin County school leaders have expressed some concerns over truck traffic that would increase near the Bay Minette School in Baldwin County High School. HCA Florida West and the Escambia Sheriff's Office are partnering up for a drug take-back event this coming Saturday called Crush the Crisis. That'll coincide with the National Prescription Drug Take-Back Day. Representatives from HCA Florida West and the Sheriff's Office will be set up in the front of the hospital and the Pine Forest Emergency Room to take back and properly dispose of expired or unused medications. And Tampa Bay Rescue Organization crediting Governor Ron DeSantis for helping to get Americans out of Israel. Project Dynamo flew 270 people to Tampa on Sunday. Founder Brian Stern says the governor paid for that plane and 4 others as well. Right now, there's no word on how much the state paid. Stern does say it's the first time any government agency has assisted him financially with his rescue operations. Stern says he talked to State Emergency Management Director Kevin Guthrie, and in about 20 minutes, he says they were in business. Guthrie says 2 more flights are still in the works from Israel. 5:34, and let's get a look at our Channel 3 weather forecast.
Sunny skies
for today, we are going to have temperatures warming up near 71 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 54. Slight warm-up as we go into the middle of the week. Temperatures in the mid-70s, plenty of sunshine. 74 for Wednesday, 58 for Wednesday night. For Thursday, 10% chance of a stray shower, otherwise mostly sunny skies, high near 75. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
And it's a nice, cool morning out there right now. 50 degrees in Pensacola, 49 in Gulf Breeze, and 47 in Milton. Our next news at 6, breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3.
Are you looking for the best news and talk radio in Pensacola? Then tune in to News Radio Pensacola. We're your source for the latest news, weather, and traffic, as well as in-depth interviews with local and national leaders. We also have the best talk radio lineup in town, with hosts that are passionate about the issues that matter to you. So whether you're looking to stay informed or just want to hear some great conversation, News Radio Pensacola is the place for you. News Radio Pensacola. Informative, local, dependable.
Hi, I'm Billy Anderson with Anderson Subaru in Pensacola. From our spectacular beaches to the miles of rivers and unspoiled forests, the Gulf Coast offers some of the best family adventure around. And the Subaru Crosstrek and Subaru Forester are the perfect family vehicles to explore every dune and unpaved trail in Northwest Florida. Both come standard with sure-footed symmetrical all-wheel drive to take you deep into the wild places you love. The Crosstrek is powered by 182 horsepower Subaru boxer engine that adds plenty of go to any adventure. And the Forester boasts 9.2 inches of ground clearance to get you through every wilderness challenge. There's more than enough room for your gear and plenty of options to make the Crosstrek or Forester fit your lifestyle. In a Subaru, the destination is the journey. So grab the kids and the dog and follow your own path to adventure. Love is out there at Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Carr City, Pensacola. Online at AndersonSubaru.com.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
Loading the kids in the car, brokering peace in the back seat, mastering the snack handoff without even looking. Why are simple things sometimes so complicated? Thankfully, with auto owners, insurance doesn't have to be one of them. We work with independent agents who keep insurance simple, so you can worry about more important things, like figuring out what's growing in that cup holder. That's simple human sense.
Ask Rushing Insurance in Pensacola and Daphne if auto owners make sense for you.
Here's what's happening around Pensacola this week. Friday night, enjoy another evening downtown with friends and neighbors for another Gallery Night Pensacola Trick or Treat Edition. Check out the newest edition, Gallery Night's Market Zone at Government, across from Plaza Ferdinand. The Pensacola Lionfish Festival is Saturday and Sunday on Pensacola Beach Boardwalk. Enjoy the games, educational booths, art, fillet demos, and eat some lionfish. See PensacolaLionfishShootout.com. Submit your events at NewsRadio923.com.
Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. Mornings 5 till 9 on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Morning, 5:38, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's a Pensacola Morning News. It's cold again. Woohoo! Feels nice. I'm just telling you. It's perfect shorts and a sweatshirt weather right now. Yesterday, we had a chance to talk to Santa Rosa County Sheriff Bob Johnson, as we typically do on a Monday. Sheriff, welcome back to the show, sir.
Welcome back, and yeah, it is cold, and I always tell people when I retire, I'm going to move to Florida where it's warm.
The other Florida?
But that's too crowded down there, so I'll probably just stay here.
I feel like, you know, you and Chip would not be all that happy in South Florida. Just, you know, you're better off with your people.
Yeah, definitely. I don't plan on going anywhere.
So one of the things interesting in the news is you guys have an award-winning car now, right?
We sure do. It's our autism awareness vehicle, and we put it in. The FSA does these contests, and we won the best administrative car, so pretty proud of that. I think there were like 29 entries, and we came in first.
And this one, if you haven't seen it, they've got it up on their Facebook page, but it's the standard look of a sheriff's vehicle in Santa Rosa County, the white with the gold and the green. But then in the front quarter panels, you have the autism multicolored puzzle pieces and the blue ribbon on the front. And I don't see the back, but I'm assuming that it's sort of in the rear too, the same kind of, you know, it's not the whole thing is painted different, but it's got enough accents on it that kind of bring awareness, right?
Yeah, and we have that one, and we have a breast cancer awareness one, and we also have a salute to the military. So some of our veterans driving around, it's the exact same paint scheme, but the word sheriff is in camouflage, and it says we support our troops, and all the ones driving those cars are veterans.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, that's very cool. I like that.
Yeah.
It's all that neat stuff that you do that just, you know, represents more than just what you're doing in terms of law enforcement, reaches out to the community and, you know, raises awareness for something as well, which is fantastic. Because, of course, you've been doing all the things to, you know, help your officers interact with people with special needs, whether it's kids or adults, you know, all of these things that are going on that are kind of like the modern policing force is just a different kind of there's all kinds of different things you do now than I ever saw cops do when I was a kid.
Well, yeah, and, you know, we created the SAFE program, which I'm very proud to say started in Santa Rosa County, and now it's going worldwide through the United States Air Force and Department of Defense, and all the bases are getting the SAFE stickers, and, you know, we're hoping that it'll go all across the country as well with the other sheriff's departments, and we're hitting it hard and heavy, and hopefully, God willing, a lot of sheriff's offices and police departments will get on board.
No, agreed. I think these are great things, wonderful things. So every once in a while you have somebody who tells you a story about why the reason you're arresting them isn't really the right reason. story about serial thief, according to the South Santa Rosa News, Myrick Brock Hamilton, trespassing and loitering and prowling, and when found with drugs said, "Not my pants."
Yeah, you know, and I usually do that too. I try to wake up and find somebody else's pants to put on. It's normal. You know, yeah. The one thing I think you can safely say, look at his mugshot when you get a chance, and I'm pretty sure you're never going to see him on Jeopardy. I have this feeling he's never going to be a contestant. I don't think he can pass the test. But, yeah, you know, unfortunately, we get some of the best stories ever, and I guess they think that the cops are just going to be, oh, not your pants. Can you tell us whose they are so we can go arrest them? I mean, you know, it's we hear everything out there. It's pretty interesting.
What's the dumbest thing you've ever heard? Anything pop to your mind, the top of the mind?
Well, the pants thing is pretty good. I've heard a lot of doozies. One of my favorite stories is we had a guy, and he was just a total frequent flyer. He'd probably been arrested, I don't know, 60 or 70 times by the time we sent him to prison for good. And I was arresting him at a Tom Thumb in Navarre. I was a sergeant at the time, and I've arrested him probably 5 or 6 times. And I get there, and, you know, he shoplifted, so I'm arresting him, and he gives me a fake name. And I looked at him, and I said, "Does my face seem like remotely familiar?" "Oh, yeah, Sergeant Johnson, I've seen you a bunch." I said, "Okay, so what's your name?" He gives me a fake name that wasn't the same as his last fake name. And I went,
well, I mean, points for creativity. You know, he's inventive.
Well, yeah, it's kind of like going up to my son and going, "Hey, son, how's it going?" "Oh, I'm not your son." "Well, okay. I think I know you. I've seen you before." It's just incredible.
Oh, my God. That's amazing. It must be entertaining. Yeah. That's all I can think. You guys have a Sheriff's Youth Ranch event coming up. Is it Friday? Is that right?
Yeah, this Friday at Hidden Creek, we have a golf tournament, and all the proceeds go to the Florida Sheriff's Youth Ranch, which is a great program started by the sheriffs back in the 1950s, and it's still going strong today. They take youths that are in, you know, problem, I guess, scenarios, say their mom's hooked on drugs and their father's in prison, whatever. They take them and basically send them to school and teach them all kind of different things, everything from farming to welding, whatever. And they get them on the right path. And it's just a great program. And we're putting on a golf tournament at Hidden Creek. It's a shotgun start at 1:00 in the afternoon this Friday. And I think we have like 4 teams left. So it usually goes pretty quick. So if you're interested, you can go to our Facebook page and scroll down. You'll see a flyer and call that number and give us a call. And we'd love to have you out there.
Outstanding. Sheriff Bob Johnson, Santa Rosa County Sheriff Bob Johnson, as always, sir, thank you for the time. Thanks for keeping us safe and giving us a chuckle this morning. I appreciate it, sir. We'll talk to you next week.
Yes, sir.
Not likely to see him on Jeopardy anytime soon. 544 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. If you are in the market for that next vehicle, or even if you're like, you're not. In fact, you know, maybe I'm different. I put off decisions. Are you like that? Because I know for me, I don't love the idea of going to a car shop. And so I will put up with a crummy car too long. Maybe I'm the only one. I don't think I am. And what happens then is you start to dread getting in your car and you start to not enjoy it and you wonder, is the car going to hold up? You know, that's just how I do it. Put up for too long. And then, you know, when you finally go, you're like, oh, why did I wait so long? Well, don't do that. You know, go now. Like, if you're having that kind of relationship with your car where you are apprehensive about whether it's going to be reliable for you, you don't enjoy getting into it, there are more things you complain about. You know, it's one thing to, like, pound the steering wheel about the other cars in the road, but if it's about the car, you know, like, go to Frontier. Look around. See what they've got. 300 different used cars and trucks, almost new, 1, 2, 3 years old, low miles, good condition. You know, maybe you're looking for a truck, maybe you're looking for a sedan, a sports car, whatever. They've got all of those things. And so many different alternatives within each genre that you can try them all. You know, try 5 or 6 cars. And I always recommend try one that's outside of your category because, you know, maybe just for just the fun of it, period, you drive a sports car or a Jeep or a minivan. And maybe what you discover is, yeah, good for one time. That's all I ever want to do again. You know, okay, fine. Or maybe you're like, oh, you know, maybe you get excited and you like, I could do that. Yeah, that sounds like fun. I don't know. But the point is, try it. The Frontier, they've got the cars there for you to try them, right? Serving the Pensacola community right behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
Roxanne Watson is on a mission.
Hello, how are you doing today?
She wants more people to register as organ, eye, and tissue donors.
Are you an organ donor?
Yes, I am.
Yay!
My goal is to sign up the most people in the United States.
What drives her? Roxanne's own life was saved through the gift of a heart transplant, made possible by an organ donor.
I decided that day that I was going to devote myself to the cause of organ donation and signing people up and honoring my donor by doing that.
Now she's back to health, and she's a powerful force helping to save lives every day through her work. Imagine what you can make possible by leaving behind the gift of life.
8 people can be helped with the major organs, and up to 50 people can be helped with a little bit of everything. And when you think about it that way, that you could help that many people, it's amazing. It really is.
Learn more and sign up as an organ, eye, and tissue donor. Go to organdonor.gov. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Health Resources and Services Administration.
Unused prescription opioid pain medicines can spell trouble. They can spell risk if taken by someone they weren't prescribed for. Harm if accidentally taken by a child or pet. Or overdose if they're not used as directed. Safely dispose of opioids before they can hurt your family. Find a drug take-back option such as medicine drop boxes. You may find these in your community at local pharmacies or police stations. Visit www.fda.gov/drug disposal.
We all want our kids to grow up safe and healthy, so we show them how. With honest conversations that let them know what we expect. That's especially important when it comes to alcohol and other drugs. And when it comes to pain medications, opioids, they need to know that they should never be shared with friends or family. For more information about talking with your kids about underage use of alcohol and other drugs, visit underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
Hobbies can be fun and expensive. How about a hobby that's fun and could make you money? Find out how this Thursday morning at 10 with Emerald Coast Coins. Hear about precious metals and metal detectors as a great hobby. For nearly 20 years, Emerald Coast Coins has been one of the top-rated businesses in Northwest Florida to buy and sell gold, silver, and the best metal detectors to find treasure. Get more information about this Thursday morning on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 is accepting applications for employment. Periodically, we have openings in sales, business, news, promotions, engineering, production, and programming. We'll keep your application for consideration when such an opening occurs. We also provide internships for qualified students. Apply online at News Radio 92.3 or at our studios at 7251 Plantation Road between 8:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m. ADX Communications is an equal opportunity employer.
Never miss a breaking news story or important weather update again. Download the News Radio Pensacola app and opt in for push notifications.
Good morning.
Morning.
Good morning.
case I don't see you, good afternoon, good evening, and good night.
Early. Little tapper back to Valdez. He juggles, he throws wide. Throw it in from Framber Valdez, leading to the first run of the game. Back-to-back singles and then a throw in there from Valdez, and it's 1-0 Rangers before the folks even settle into their seats.
Early in the game last night, yesterday afternoon, you had the first game of two in the Major League playoffs. This is the ALCS, American League Championship Series. Astros and the Rangers, and the Rangers get on the board first with, you know, a single, and then a comebacker to the pitcher, and Valdez throws it away, scoring, and it just got worse. Like, the whole first inning came unraveled for him. You had that happen, then the next batter.
Adolis Garcia hooks the first one into right field, base hit.
I don't know who's banging the table there.
Grossman to third, 2-0, just like that.
Thank goodness it did not persist. So that was first and third on eight pitches. That was crazy. And so three or four batters had already reached, and there was an error in there.
Garver now yanks the line drive into left field. That'll drop in for another Texas hit, and it's 3-0.
10 pitches, including four hits and an error. I mean, that's rough.
Punches a base hit the other way, does low. Here comes Garcia.
Five hits and an error on 16 pitches, scoring four runs. Yeah, so the first inning was horrible for them. But Houston did fight back. Good for them. Yard on Alvarez.
Bodies 2-1. Alvarez turns on the ball.
Oh, he's a monster, too. He's amazing. But Jonah Heim in the top of the next inning came right back for the Rangers.
Four of those five guys spent time in the second half on the injured list. There's a fly ball to left field, and Jonah Heim hits it out. There's that power you're talking about.
So that's the top of the third inning. It's 5-1. Alex Bregman, the slugger, gets up in the bottom of the fourth for Houston.
There's a shot.
Five to two at that point. The Astros scored a third. So they were chipping away. They were getting really close. And then Alvarez, remember him? He got a home run in the second inning, I think it was. And then he comes back up in the eighth inning for Houston.
Hammers the ball down the line. His second of the game. Cuts it to one.
Former Wahoo and Red, Aroldis Chapman, who was a flamethrower, at least back in the days. Not as fast anymore, but still. So the Astros managed to lose it 5-3 to the Rangers, who lead the series 2-0. In the Diamondbacks-Phillies game, it was all power all day. Schwarber went deep on the first pitch of the game. Harper on the fourth pitch of the game. Nick Castellanos in the next inning. I mean, the Phillies have just slugging potential, and so they took a 1-0 lead in that series as well, ultimately 5-3. 5:52 on News Radio 92.3. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Yes, I am. Caught me off guard. Hundreds of people attended the funeral yesterday for a young Palestinian-American boy who was stabbed to death in an apparent hate crime. Authorities say the 6-year-old and his mother were stabbed in the Chicago area by their landlord. The mother was seriously wounded in that attack, and the DOJ opening a federal hate crime investigation into that incident.
Yeah, he's in his 70s, right? The guy who stabbed the kid.
Yes.
It's just unbelievable.
Terrible
story. Awful. It really is awful.
Of course, the strikes have been going on all over the place. The UAW and now casino workers in Detroit.
How will we go on?
It's going to be
casino
difficult.
Workers in Detroit.
That's right.
What casino is in Detroit? Is that on the water? What are you talking about?
Well, hold on here. Let's see. The deal was in place. The Detroit casino workers are preparing for a walkout as soon as today. They had a deal that was in place for 3,700 workers. That expired at midnight. No new contract. The Detroit Casino Council. Apparently, they must have multiple casinos. They have a whole council.
It's been a long time since I lived in Detroit. I mean, a long time since I lived in Detroit, but I just didn't know they had casinos. All right, go on. I'm listening.
They have five unions representing their workers at their casinos there. Apparently, they've been at the negotiating table since the summer and still unable to reach a deal. So if your travels take you to Detroit, unfortunately, you may have to deal with that.
Okay, so these are the things I learned doing the morning show. There are three casinos in Detroit.
Yes.
The Motor City Casino, the Hollywood Casino at Greektown, and the MGM Casino, or the MGM Grand in Detroit. all of which comes as a big surprise to me. I haven't lived in Detroit since like I was 9, but still, you know, I think of it as my, you know, it's my original home kind of thing. And okay.
Yeah,
so they have casinos.
I've never even traveled through Detroit, so I really wasn't sure how many casinos.
Well, that's
the
way most people do it. They go through.
Just kind of go along the lake and then stop. Yeah.
Yeah.
The United States and Israel have now agreed to a plan to provide humanitarian aid from donor nations to civilians in Gaza. That plan announced by Secretary of State Antony Blinken in Tel Aviv. He says it's critical that aid begins arriving soon in Gaza.
All right. Very good, David. Thanks so much for the update and the education, man. I appreciate that. 5:55 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. India's Supreme Court was asked to decide whether gay marriage was legal already under their constitution or not. This is India, the country, you know, 1.5 billion people, I think. I don't check in every day on the size, but they passed China. And the Supreme Court said no, that's a legislative function. It's not for them to decide. 5 justices ruling that. And, you know, of course, the LGBTQ community there in India had hoped that would come in for their side. Interestingly, transgender persons are still allowed to marry, but it's based on biological sex, not based on, I guess. I was trying to read and understand which way they're going on this, but they say a transgender man can marry a transgender woman. That's where they're both crossed over. If a transgender person wishes to marry a heterosexual person, their marriage will be recognized as long as one's a man and the other is a woman because they have a transgender act, apparently. So I'm not sure whether that's parts or identity, but, you know, that's a different case, apparently. But, you know, no same-sex marriage in India, at least not yet. So just thought that was kind of an interesting note. Again, the Supreme Court in India ultimately deciding that that's a legislative decision, not for us to decide, something that our Supreme Court did not do. They took it upon themselves to make the decision for the entire nation. And so, you know, now we have it in every state, right? 5:56 on News Radio 92.3. The FBI, Chris Wray, has been warning about the increase of threats across the U.S. in the wake of the terrorist attacks in Israel by Hamas. And I understand that they want us to be aware that there's a sort of a general concern about this. And it fits in the sense that, you know, Hamas will do anything they can, just like Al-Qaeda would, just like Hezbollah would. You know, any of these organizations would do whatever they can do, particularly against their enemy, the Satan of America, their view. But at the same time, what am I supposed to do differently? You know, like, the terrorists are out to kill Americans. Okay. I mean, do I take my gun to the beach? You know, like, what do you want me to do differently than I would do all the time? You know, I carry frequently and I'm... doesn't necessarily mean I'm going to be able to stop a terrorist attack, you know? Maybe. You know, I'm not planning to go buy an AR today, you know, to shoot down the paragliders that come after me from Hamas. What is it that I'm supposed to do differently in my life because of this vague, generalized, be on alert? I think based on how people misbehave, we're all kind of on alert all the time. And if we're not, we're not. But, you know, you're at Bayview Park getting ready to put your paddleboard in and you're like, extra look around to be sure there's no Hamas in the region. Like, I don't know. Honestly, I'm not trying to be a smartass. I mean, I'm being one, but I'm not trying to be that. What am I supposed to do with this generalized warning? Don't travel by air, you know, don't get on a bus, be extra suspicious on the bus. It seems pointless to me, except as a, well, you know, if something happens, we want to be able to say we warn people. Well, you didn't warn people. You told everybody get extra nervous for nothing, you know? Should they be quiet, Andrew? No, I'm just saying it doesn't help. You know, when I'm going grocery shopping, I'm not like, you know, in the meat section extra nervous because maybe there's some Hamas in there with me. Just, I don't know. I can't make sense of what the ultimate takeaway is for me in this regard. 5:58 on News Radio 92.3. This is actually kind of a big deal. You know how we don't have a budget? Again and again and again, we don't have a budget. Well, now, because of if they do a CR and the way that works with a continuing resolution, the way that works with military budgeting, apparently the inability to have a budget is going to cost the Navy somewhere in the order of $26 billion. Because of if sequestration rules go into effect, rollback rates kind of 1% down from the previous year, all of this stuff. And just, I mean, I know $26 billion is hard to fathom. How much is that in a 250-ish billion budget for the Navy? But okay, think of it this way. That's two aircraft carriers worth of, well, because we couldn't pass a budget.
Listen on air at 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. News Radio 92.3, WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.